In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know that I've been talking to you a lot about what's going on. Not really the ins and outs out of it, not the politics of it and everything else. If you want to go ahead and read about that, be my guest. I don't recommend it. But you have ears to hear, eyes to see. You see the stuff's going on. And I'm trying to, every time I preach, basically, I'm preaching, first of all, autobiographically. It's always about stuff that applies to me as well as you. I never talk to just you, ever. I always talk to you and me. Also, I'm trying to give you tools, and me tools, to deal with life, to understand what's important in life. So much of life is making the right value judgment about something. Is this good or is this better? Is this good or is this bad? Is this life or is this death? I talk about in those ways all the time to you, because it's really critical to have a skill at seeing what is good and bad, and what is good and what is better, and what is terrible. There's a lot of terrible out there, but there's a lot of good too, and the good especially is in you, because you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. So I try to communicate to you that the way we cope with life is the Holy Spirit abides in us, and we therefore change. The way we interact with the world is because the Holy Spirit is within us, and we have a soft heart, and we notice things, and we care about things, and we pray about things, and we do prostrations for people, because we are the only ones who have it. We're the only ones who understand. Now, I'm not saying that we're, you know, you and I are smarter than everybody else, but the truth is in the church. We're in the church. Everywhere else is not the truth. Maybe a portion of the truth, but a portion of the truth is not enough. So we have this great repository of faith and of grace to draw on, the saints to draw on, the Holy Spirit, our guardian angel to help us. And therefore, we have a purpose. It's not just day-to-day living that you're doing. You should live in a way that's incandescent. You should live in a way that is just above things. We should mount up like eagles. And how do we do that? There's a lot of stuff going on right now. There's a lot of stuff to be concerned about. But there's always been. There's always been stuff. So how do we deal with it? I think the apostle gives us a piece of how to deal with it today. Actually, the gospel always does. And by the gospel, I don't mean necessarily the four books written by the evangelists. The gospel is the good news. You can find the gospel in the Old Testament just everywhere. So the apostle says, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Now, perhaps that could be a little ambiguous. He says, we are laborers together with God. Is he speaking of himself as an apostle and his fellow apostles? Because he says, we are laborers, but ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Well, he's God's husbandry and building too. So I would submit to you that although his labors were above ours, we are laborers together with God. There is a great privilege in being a laborer with God. A great privilege. This should energize your life to be a laborer with God. There is no greater privilege than that God will accept your labor to help people be into the kingdom, to get into the kingdom. Isn't that amazing? We who are full of sins, full of confusion, we don't do very good many days, and yet we are laborers. Don't forget that. This is one of the keys to dealing with what's going on in life. You're a laborer with God. I've told you this before, but it's always made a big impression on me. When St. Peter the Aleut was being martyred by people who said that they were Christians, by the way, all he would say to them is, I am a Christian. I just saw that recently again in the Menaean. I don't remember the saint that said it, but he just said it over and over again as he was being martyred. I am a Christian. It is a great privilege to be a Christian. Let us not forget that. But being a Christian is not a static thing. It's not just some sort of status, like you have a degree at some college. Well, if you don't do anything with the degree, it really doesn't matter if you have a degree. If you don't do anything with being a Christian, it doesn't really matter that you are officially in some way a Christian because you've been baptized and maybe even go to church and such. We are laborers together with God, and we are God's husbandry. We're God's building. This is critical to remember and to live your life according to. And if you do this, I'll tell you something amazing happens to you. You think less about yourself. You might be in the midst of more problems because you got people that you're helping. And when you help people, somehow it's almost like there's a sort of a magnetism, if it were, and there's more people come to you when you help others. But that's good, because then you're being a laborer with God. Now, the apostle goes on to speak about some things as that really, I think we're speaking specifically about his ministry. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. He's talking about the preaching that he did to the various churches, bringing people into the church. And he said he's laid the foundation, but another builds on it. We are the others who are building it. We're building on our own foundation, and we're helping others to build on their foundation. And he says to us, very important words, let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, that is Christ. So the foundation, of course, is we're baptized into the church, and the foundation is Christ. The rock is Christ. But if we try to lay another foundation on top of that foundation, then the building will fail. And there are many other foundations that people lay. And unfortunately, we sometimes engage in this kind of toxic building as well. Of course, there's false belief. May it not be that we believe falsely? There's a story about a desert father that someone came and said, are you such and such the fornicator? Are you such and such the gossip? Are you such and such the braggart? And he said, yes, it is so. And then they said, are you such and such the heretic? And he said, no, I'm not a heretic. All these other things are good for my soul to accept guilt for, but heresy is separation from God, and I do not wish to be separated from him. So false belief is a false foundation. And perhaps you say, oh, I don't have any false belief. Maybe. Superstitions are false beliefs. Bad priorities are false beliefs. So maybe you do have a false belief or two that you lay upon that foundation. Of course, there's also pride and sins and identity problems. May it be that we are saved from identity problems. There's only one identity, and that is that you are a human being made in the image of God to obtain his likeness. That's your only identity. There is no other identity. Everything else is unimportant. And if you have that identity, then you don't have an identity problem. But so many identity problems in the world today about what people think and believe and how they act. And they identify themselves with those things, often identifying themselves with sins. Another false foundation is our purpose. I've told you over and over the purpose in life. I always ask everybody when I first meet them and they want to be a catechumen what the purpose in life is. So you should all know the answer to that question, not just that you can answer it so you please me, but that you live according to it. Your purpose in life is to be united with God. Your purpose in life is to have a whole soul with nothing broken in it, with no darkness in it, with no passion in it, only with light, only with God. Your purpose in life is to obtain the likeness of God. So everything should be directed towards that purpose. And if it is, then you will be building on the foundation with good things. Now, the apostle tells us some things about the kinds of things people build with. And there's a portion in here that's very much misunderstood, and I'll explain to you what the fathers say that this passage means. I didn't understand it until I'd read commentaries, because it's not easily understood just by the face meaning of it. So, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. There's two things here that I think we should keep very much in mind. And by me keeping in mind, I don't mean like you should like write it down and put it on a note card and make sure you remember it. I don't mean it like that. I mean it should energize your entire life. The first is that the day will declare it. There will come a reckoning. Everything that you do will be revealed. The good and the bad, but God, if he sees that your heart is good, that you've struggled, the bad he will forgive very freely. Because he'll say, I know you. I know you. You're just like me. He'll see his likeness in you. And everything else, all of the lies, all of the deceit, all of the pain, all of the suffering, all of the injustice, all of it will be gone. There will just be truth. There will be a reckoning. When we try to have a reckoning in this life, we err greatly. It's not going to happen. Only occasionally is there a reckoning in this life, and it's almost always only a partial reckoning. Those that are lying and cheating today, they will likely not be discovered. Or if they are discovered, they won't be punished. But in the next life, all of the work that we have done will be revealed. So for a Christian that is struggling, this should be good news, not terrifying news. I mean, it should certainly make you want to do better. But it will all be revealed. The Lord will not forget anything we've done, even if we give a cup of cold water to someone. He'll remember that, and it will be revealed. And our works will be made manifest. And our works will be brought through, shall we say, the fire. That's what the apostle talks about. Now, this fire is not a purgatorial fire or any kind of nonsense like that. It is that fire reveals purity and impurity. When you smelt a metal, the fire makes the impurities go away. And so this is what's going to happen to us. It's metaphorical. The Lord will reveal to us and to everyone the things in us that are true and also the things that are false. And if we repented of the things that are false, then they're forgiven. They're as far away as the east is from the west. But if we haven't changed, if we haven't obtained the likeness of God, then those impurities will be right there. And there'll be spots on our wedding garment. It'll make it very obvious that we haven't lived in the right way. So he goes on to say, the apostle goes on to say, this confusing statement. So, if any man's work abide, which he hath built therein, he will receive a reward. All right. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved as through fire. What that means is that everyone lives. Not everyone is in blessedness, but everyone remains alive. From the time God creates man, an individual human being, their soul is eternal. Their soul does not die. It does not wink out of existence. It does not cease to be. Because one of the attributes of God that he has instilled in us is being eternal. Of course, God is eternal from the beginning and the end. There is no beginning for him. There is a beginning for us, but there is no end. Even for the sinners, there is no end. So this was what the apostle saying. He shall be saved. That is, he'll remain alive, but as through fire. And that fire is the fire that is never quenched. And the worm that ceaseth not. The regret of having lived a poor life and having no recourse. Being sorry, but not being able to make repentance because that time has passed. That is the truth. So it's not a purgatorial fire that saves people through some sort of suffering, you know. They have to have so many points of suffering or whatever, so that so many days, so many months, so many years, and then they come out and they're saved. That's not what it's speaking of. That's how it was interpreted by the Latins. But the fathers, I believe St. John Chrysostom said this, that this is referring to the soul is eternal. So what you do now does matter forever. Okay, that might be a little frightening. Maybe it's a lot frightening to some of us. It's good if we're frightened, if it makes us make changes. Being frightened just with fear and not doing anything about it, well, that doesn't help. We see that nowadays, don't we? You see people that are terrified and they're forgetting to be Christian. They're forgetting to have faith. If you have fear, then you must still live as a Christian. That's called courage. to have fear, and still to do the right thing. We're still gathered together. There are churches that are still closed because of fear. We won't give in to this fear, because whether you have the fear or not is not so important. What's important is that you live according to what's true and you conquer your fear. So then the apostle goes on to say, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Do you know that? Of course, you know that. It's a theological fact, isn't it? Everybody knows we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. But how much do you live like that? If you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, you're very special. And no matter what else is happening in the world, you're very special, because you are a co-laborer with God. If you live with that knowledge, then you're very powerful. This is how we cope with our day, is to know that we are co-laborers with God, we are temples of the Holy Spirit, and what we build upon the foundation that has been already made for us matters. It endures. That is, it endures if it's true. If it's not true, if it's according to sin, it's according to passion, it's according to unbelief, if it's according to fear without action, despite the fear, then those things will burn up, and we'll burn up with them. So may God help us to really understand this, to live as co-laborers. Such a great privilege to be a co-laborer with God, because we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing greater in the universe than this. May God help you. May God bless you. Amen. This was a homily from St. Nicholas Orthodox Church, McKinney, Texas. Orthodox.net is our website, and the sermons are found at orthodox.net/sermons, and on YouTube they are found at orthodox.net. God bless you. This is Priest Seraphim.